Amen. Bless the Lord. It's amazing when we come to offering. You know, one of the things I realized when it comes to offering is, you know, the same about myself. God doesn't need me. He wants me. God doesn't need your money. He wants your money. He doesn't need your money. He wants your money. You see, there's two things that control us. There's two things that govern us in this world. One of them is time and one of them is finance. And you see, if we can bring ourselves to a place where we're not governed by that, but we govern it, that God gives us an ability, God gives us a supernatural ability to begin to govern our time and govern our finances, that they don't control us, but we control them. Amen? And I believe even in days to come, and we're in that season where God is going to give us supernatural insight, supernatural knowledge and wisdom on how to govern finances and time so that they don't govern us. You see, we can exist with anything in this world, but the two things that control us are time and finance. But I thank God He's releasing wisdom and understanding. You see, what understanding does is allows us to stand under what God is doing. Let me say that again. When God gives you understanding, it allows you to stand under what He's doing. And God is going to give us wisdom and understanding to enable us to respond, not react. You see, there's a big difference between responding and reacting. A lot of us in our lives react to our situations when God just wants us to respond. Amen? So next time something comes up in the financial realm or if something comes up in the time realm, just respond, don't react. And just say, God, I'm going to respond in you. Yes, there may be a bill in front of me, but like Colin said, you shall supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. Amen. You know, it's amazing God supplies our needs, but He doesn't supply our wants. I want a fast car. Do I need a fast car? No, I don't. You know, He supplies all our needs. Is rent a need? So He'll supply it. Is good health a need? He'll supply it. Yes, yes. Amen? Yes. But you see, it's amazing. Let me just say this, and this isn't my message. This is just free. I'll just give this to you. You know, it's amazing how many of us, you know, make deposits in the kingdom of time, finance, of loved ones. How many of us have made a deposit within the kingdom? How many of us have made a withdrawal on that deposit? You see, if I put $1,000 into a bank account and I just put it there and left it there, and maybe 2 years later I went to the bank and said, I want my $1,000, and they said, sorry, sir, you can't have it. I'm going to cause a stick. You know, I'm going to cause a fuss. I'm going to all of a sudden begin to act Welsh. You know, and I'm going to kick a fuss. But you see, that's what happens within the kingdom of God. We think that all we have to do is deposit, 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 but we fail to make a withdrawal. And I really believe that we need to make starting a withdrawal on healing. We need to make a withdrawal of miracles. We need to make a withdrawal of signs and wonders. We need to make a withdrawal of kingdom transformation. Amen? Because that's what God wants us to do. God is like, what's happening? There's no transaction happening with my kingdom. And that's what God wants us to do is make a transaction with the kingdom. Because if we make a transaction with the kingdom, something happens. Amen? Something changes. Something happens within the glory realm that causes not only a shift there, but causes a shift here. You see, I like to say it like this. An action here causes a reaction there. You know, it's a well-known scientific law. For every action, there is an opposite and equal what? Who came up with our law? That's Newton. Newton knew the kingdom. Newton knew the kingdom. He realized for every action there's an opposite and equal what? Reaction. You see, why aren't we seeing a reaction from the kingdom is because we're not making an action on the earth. And if you want to begin to see a reaction from the kingdom, you need to make an action on this earth. Everything that Jesus did was an action to cause a reaction in the kingdom. Amen? Everything he did was an action to cause a reaction. He did nothing just for the sake of doing something. You see, for every action you make, there will be an opposite and equal reaction. Amen? And that's what God does. But you know an amazing thing about the kingdom? Is when you make an action, there won't be an opposite and equal reaction. There'll be an opposite but multiplicational action. Reaction from the kingdom. You see, one to me is 10,000 to God. 1,000 years to me is a day to God. So you know, it's amazing, you know, when we say, God, when are you coming? He said, I'll be coming soon. That's what I say to my wife when she asks me to do something. I'll say, I'll do it soon. And she said, why haven't you done it? I said, well, Jesus said he was coming soon, and that was 2,000 years ago. So, you know, it's amazing. But let's get into the Word. I want to lay something here in this place this morning. I really want to lay something in your lives. You know, along our lives and everything that Sarah and myself are involved in, God always gives us really a foundational message, really, to speak into the lives of individuals. You see, when we started this is what God told us. I want you to take the message to the people so that the people become the message. And really, from the outset, that's what we've attained, or this is what we've tried to attain and try to do, is that everywhere we go, that we will release a message so that the people will become the message. So that everything in the nation can be changed, can be impacted through individuals, not with us just coming in, but what we release to you will cause an impact. Like Sarah said yesterday, I don't see the people you see at your work. I don't sit down with the family that you sit down with. You see, we all think that the guy in the front can make the biggest impact. No, you make the biggest impact because you see the people. You see your family. So, you know, you get into that place. And really, God has laid a foundation within our lives that's caused us to build something. You see, everything needs a good foundation. You know, I recognized when I was here back in 2005, the thing on the news here was leaky houses. Shoddy jobs. And you see, whenever we come into a church, one of the things we try to do first is not build anything, but lay foundation. Because if you lay a good foundation, those of the church can build. And you know, that's the job of a fivefold minister, is really to lay a foundation. Because the Bible says that the church is built on what? The apostles and prophets. So you lay a foundation. And you know, it's amazing that we've got this the whole total wrong way round. Because, you know, if I went to Pastor Tricia's house and walked in, I wouldn't say to her, you've got gorgeous foundations. You've got really nice foundations. I really like your foundations. I think they look so nice. Why wouldn't I say that? Because you can't see the foundations. You can only see what's built on the foundation. And that's the same with a fivefold minister. You see, we've got it the wrong way around. We think that they're up the top and we're all underneath them. Well, let's just flip that right around. The success of a fivefold minister is what is built upon him. Or is what is built upon her. You see, whenever someone comes up to me and says, oh, you know, I'm an apostle, I'm a prophet, I say, what's built upon you? Not what you were building, what's built upon you. Because if you're a good foundation, then there's going to be good things built upon you. When you see shoddy buildings, you know there's a weak foundation. And that's what God wants you to get in your life. People who've got a good foundation. People who you know you can build upon. That's why God has put these guys. Because they are there to lay the foundation for you to build upon. Amen? And that's what God wants us to do. You know, it's amazing. You get into a place where you need to recognize if you want to build something good, you've got to lay a good foundation. Amen? And you see, there's many things within our lives that we've recognized. There's many things within our lives that we have put into our lives and we have accepted into our lives that really we can't even live by ourselves. You see, we live by a gospel that we can't even live by ourselves. There's mindsets, there's belief systems, there's boundaries, there's laws that we have placed in our lives that don't bring us to a place of freedom, they bring us to a place of bondage. And you see, there's many things within the Bible. I want you to turn with me to John 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, then John. I've got a good Bible this morning. It's in order. John 1 verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but truth and grace came through Jesus Christ. Is that what it says? Let me read it again. For the law was given through Moses, but truth and grace came through Jesus Christ. Is that what it says? No, it doesn't. It says grace and truth. You see, we need to understand something. Whenever something appears in the Bible, it's not written that way just for the sake of that being written. There is a reason. Whenever you see something written in the Word of God, it is there for us to take notice of. It is in that order for us to realize something. Amen? So when we begin to see these order of things, we begin to understand there's a pattern. But there's not only just a pattern, there's a pattern of His presence. Let me give you an example. Corinthians 12, what is that chapter all about? Gifts. Gifts of the Spirit. Corinthians 13 is all about love. Then all of a sudden, Corinthians 14 is all about gifts. Now, I don't know if we got any people who read novels here or like a good book, but whenever I read a book, if I'm on a trail or if I'm being taken into a story, I like to keep on the same context. I like to stay in the same story. If all of a sudden I'm reading a story and we're in the West Indies and all of a sudden I'm in Antarctica, I'm like, where have we gone? This isn't in context for what I was reading. And you know, that's the same with Corinthians 12, 13 and 14. All of a sudden Paul's talking about gifts and he goes total left field and starts talking about love. And then he comes back total right field and starts talking about gifts again in Corinthians 14. Now I'm thinking, what the heck is going on? Yeah. Paul, I thought you were a good author. I thought you knew all about context and language and all this. But you see, nothing appears in the Bible for the reason of it just being there. There's a reason. And you know what the reason is? You see, Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are in that order for a very valid reason. You see, if you go to the Old Testament, if you go to the tabernacle, if you go to the priest, and you look at the priest, the high priest, he wears something called an ephod. And on the bottom of that ephod is what? Bells and... You got a bell... Pomegranate, bell, pomegranate, bell, pomegranate, bell, and you can go all around, depending how big it is, how big he is, there's how many bells and pomegranates around the bottom. You see, there's a bell and a pomegranate. Now, why are the bells there? You see, we've been taught this funky little thing that the bells are there because if he goes into the Holy of Holies and the priests hear the bells stop ringing, it means that he's dead, and this imaginary rope that is around his leg, they're going to pull him out with. Well, I'll give $1,000 to the first person that can find the rope in the Bible. There's no rope around his leg. The bells are there because the Word of God and the command to Moses is that you shall make a continual noise before me. That's why the bells are there. And you see another, just imagine, if you look at the whole architecture of the tabernacle, you recognize that the veil between the holy place and the most holy place, the veil is about that thick. And the Bible tells us that it is clasped along the top and down the side. Now all of a sudden when the priest comes into that place, and he's got the censer in his hand, and what's coming off the censer? All this billowing smoke with all the incense. You see, how is he going to get from one side to the other? Is he going to have someone lift up the curtain? They can't, because it's clasped along the top and down the side. How does he get from one side to the other? He's transported. That's what happens in worship. That's what happens in intimacy. That's when our worship becomes a fragrance before the Lord. The Lord can transport us into his presence. That's the very thing that happened to the priest. You see, it's an amazing thing. It's the very thing that also happened to Philip. It said all of a sudden the Spirit of the Lord took him up. And also known as Philippian Airways. But you know, you need to understand something. When we see that, when we see that representation within the tabernacle, the bells and the pomegranates. What are the pomegranates there for? What is a pomegranate? It's a fruit. Why is the pomegranate there? You see, you need to understand something. If the pomegranate wasn't there, the bells would just clash. That's the very reason why Corinthians 12, Corinthians 13, and Corinthians 14 is written like it is. Because Corinthians 12 is a bell. Corinthians 13, which is about love, which is also a fruit, is about love. And Corinthians 14 is on about a bell again. Yeah. So you've got the bell, the pomegranate, and the bell. So we need to understand something. If we're going to exercise the gifts of the Spirit in the church, we also need to exercise the fruit of the Spirit. Because if we don't exercise love, then we're just going to be a clanging cymbal or a clashing bell. Amen? Can you see that? So that's why God wants us to begin to step into a place of beginning to exercise love. That's why Paul said, I can speak with tongues of men and of angels. I can prophesy till the cows come home. But unless I've got love, I'm nothing. Because love is the fuel to the supernatural. And you see, we need to understand something. If we don't get into a place of exercising love between us, you see, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:31 that we can all prophesy one by one. You see, there can be more than one prophet. There can be more than one person with a prophetic gift in. But if we haven't got love being exercised amongst us, then we're just going to be a clashing bell. Amen? So whenever we see something written in the Word of God, it's there for a reason. That's why in John 1:17 it says, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth. Grace and truth. It doesn't say truth and grace, it says grace and truth. Now let's look at them two words. The word grace. The word grace in the Greek comes from the word charis. Now if you like your Strong's, you can look it up. It's where we get the word charity from. It means unmerited favor or undeserved blessing. Unmerited favor, undeserved blessing. Where's the best example of grace in the Word of God? The cross. Romans 5 verse 8. While we were still yet sinners, for God demonstrating his love towards us, that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still yet committing the act, Christ is dying for us. While I'm still stealing money from my dad, he still gives me $100. While I'm still spitting in someone's face, they're still forgiving me. While we were still yet sinners, I didn't deserve it, I didn't merit it, but he gave it to me. That's grace. And another definition of grace is the absolute influence of God on a person's heart. The influencing factor of God on a person's heart. That's grace. That's what grace does. Let's look at the word truth. Truth in the Greek is the word athaleia. It means accuracy, reality, integrity. What's the best example for the word truth? John 14:24, for you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You shall know the reality and the reality will set you free. You know, I'm living in a world today where everyone is just going after reality. So much they want to put cameras in people's houses and watch them pick their nose. They want to put cameras in people's houses and watch them go to the bathroom. That's how crazy this world is getting about reality. But let me tell you, it's a hunger in this generation because they just don't want to see the superficial. They want to see the supernatural. They just don't want to see the form. They want to see the power. And you see, we ask ourselves, why are people turning away from religion but turning to the church, turning to the kingdom? Why are they turning away from religion but turning to the kingdom? Because Paul set a precedent in 2 Corinthians 3 verse 5. He says they'll have the form and not the power. From such, turn away. Paul set a precedent. He said, turn away from those who have the form but don't have the power. And we're asking ourselves why people are turning away from religion. Why? Because they've got the form but they hasn't got the power. People in thousands are turning to the kingdom of God because someone on the face of this earth is willing to demonstrate the kingdom, is willing to demonstrate power. Amen?
Yes.
And that's what we need. That's the reality that is going to set people free. You will know. It doesn't say you will know the religious and the religious will set you free. It says you will know the reality and the reality will set you free. It's amazing when you begin to see grace and truth work together, something changes in the heart of a person. The best example for grace and truth within the Word of God is found in John 4. Turn with me there. You see, it's amazing. There's so many things we believe, you know, are in the Word of God that are not. You know, in Acts 13, what did Paul fall off? Sorry, what did Saul fall off in Acts 9? What did he fall off? Donkey. Some people say donkey, some people say horse. Again, if you can find donkey or horse there, I'll give you $1,000. It's not there. He fell off his feet. But somewhere along the way, someone has said something to you, and all of a sudden you take that as gospel. Instead of finding it out yourself. Now, there was a group in Paul's day that caused him a bit of heartache. They were known as the Bereans. And the Bereans said, unless you can show me, unless you can prove it to me, I'm not going to believe you. And guys, even with everything I'm saying, I want you to go and check it out. Because I'm telling you, God wants to bring us into a place of freedom. He doesn't want to bring us into a place of bondage. You see, truth brings you into freedom. What's the opposite to truth? False. If something is false, it's going to bring you into... So if you've got a belief system or if you've got an understanding that is false, what's it going to bring you into? It's going to bring you into bondage. That's why we need to know the Word. You know, it says in Psalm 119... that His Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. People come up to me and say, Gary, I'm just tripping up in life. It seems that I've got this happening and I can't see a way and it's like I don't know what's going on here. And the first question I just ask them is, do you read the Word? Do you take time with Daddy God? Do you read the Word? You see, the Bible says, let the Word be in you. Is the Word in you? Because if the Word is in you, then it'll be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. If you've got a lamp to your feet and a light to your path, are you going to trip? No. You know the amazing invention that I love? I love these little path solar lights. You know, you just stick them in the ground and they charge up during the day, then all of a sudden they come on at night. That's what the Word of God wants to be to you. Yeah. It wants to be a light unto your path so you don't trip up. Amen? Are we getting something this morning? John 4 verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. But he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which was called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the 6th hour. What's the 6th hour?
Midday.
Okay, let me present this to you. What rulership was this area under?
Roman.
It was under Roman rulership. If an area is under a rulership of a foreign land, what time system would they come under? What's the 6th hour in Roman time? It's either 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. So when reading this, we need to bring something out and understand that this is not only 12 noon, but it could be 6 a.m. or 6 p.m. You see, whenever we read the Word of God, we can't just read it as face value. We've got to understand. We've got to get a context. We've got to get a background understanding of why the very thing was written. You see, do you realize people have read just verses out of the Bible and absolutely, you know, shut people down? Women and all weren't allowed to speak in church because of one verse where Paul says, I permit no woman to speak. Some dude just reads it and all of a sudden for centuries shuts down women. But we need to understand the context of why he wrote that. He wasn't anti-women. He wasn't against women. He wasn't all of a sudden, women can't. What was happening? You see, we need to understand something. When the Holy Spirit hit, you know, the Corinthian church, and also the churches that Timothy was looking after, all of a sudden a renewed freedom came to the women. The women were uneducated. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit hit, freedom came, and as you can imagine, the guys were in the synagogue on the floor, the women were up in the rafters, were up in the balcony. And the teaching was going on, and this expository of who Jesus is, and all of a sudden, maybe a word like resurrection came out. And all of a sudden, the women up in the balcony is like, what does resurrection mean? They would ask their husbands, what's resurrection mean? What's atonement mean? What's baptism mean? And Paul's like, guys, shut your women up. Let them ask you at home. What Paul was saying was not that women can't speak in church, but let's have some order. You know, I thank God today that we've all got an education system, amen? But that what was trying to happen was let's bring some order to the service. I'm not against women speaking. You know, maybe there may be an uneducated man there, and he shouts up to his wife. Who knows? But we need to understand the background and the context. Because what happens, I had a guy, we did a prophetic encounter last weekend in Wellington. A guy came straight up to me. Sarah just preached the session. And the first question he asked me, so what's your view on women in the pulpit? Whoa, if he did. You see, and I just explained to him the context of why that's written. And that's what happens. We read something within the Word, and all of a sudden that becomes gospel, and instead of freeing us, it binds us.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen?
Yeah.
So God wants us to begin to understand the very reason why things are there. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's move on. Verse 7. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it was who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. What do we see there? Grace. Grace. What are you, a Jew, but not only a Jew, what are you, a guy, doing talking to me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Now we need to understand another background bit of this verse. If you look in Matthew 10, the two things that Jesus forbid his disciples from doing are what? Do not go near the Gentiles and do not enter Samaria.
That's right.
What the heck is Jesus doing? You know, my dad used to say to me when I was younger, don't do what I do, do what I say. Don't do what I do what I say. And you see, it's amazing when I read this and I'm like, Jesus, you told your disciples not to go to Samaria, but what are you doing there? And you know, it's amazing, the Lord just brought this revelation to me and I understood something from this point onwards. Do you know, it really knocks you when all of a sudden God's told you not to do something, but the person next to you can?
Whoa.
When God's told you not to do something, but the person next to you can. Do you know, sometimes God will forbid you to do something that He'll permit someone else to do. I don't understand it. I'm going to answer for it. But you know, it's an amazing thing as well, that God will release you to do something that He cannot do. And God will forbid you to do something that He can. What do you mean, Gary? You see, my family doesn't accept God, but they accept me. So God will send me where He cannot go.
Yeah.
My workmates didn't accept God, but they accepted me. Wow. So God will send me places He cannot go. And there's places in this world that I cannot go, but God can. Places like Saudi Arabia where Jesus is just appearing. Places like India where Jesus is just appearing to classrooms of kids. And they're just getting converted and transformed by Jesus just appearing to them. And this isn't just one kid having a vision. This is the whole class having an open vision of Jesus. You see, Jesus will go places that I can't. But Jesus will have me go places that He can't. Amen? Do you get it? Amen. Bless the Lord. So you see, Jesus had an assignment. Jesus had a mandate. Jesus had a mission that He could only do, but His disciples couldn't. Amen? You see, we see grace, unmerited favor, undeserved blessing. What are you, a Jew, doing with me, a Samaritan? Listen, lady, you don't deserve it. You don't merit it, but I want to give you living water. Let's read on. And the woman said to Him, Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it Himself, as well as his sons and his livestock? And Jesus answered and said to her, Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. What do we see? Grace. You don't deserve it. You don't merit it. But listen, you know, we need to understand something about this verse. Do you know what Jesus was trying to do with this woman? He was trying to make her the source instead of her having to come to a source. That's what Jesus wants to do with you. He wants to make you the source. You see, this woman probably came every day to this well. She came to a source of water. But Jesus wanted to make her the source. My friend, every day we try to bring people to a source, but God wants us to become the source. How many of us, when people have come to us and said, oh, I want to know more about Jesus, or maybe I'm sick, what do we do? Come on Sunday to the church and we'll get the pastor to pray for you. What are we doing? We're bringing people to a source instead of being the source ourselves. And that's what God wants us to be in this kingdom. He wants us to be the source of the kingdom. That when people come to us and say, I'm sick, we can heal them. When people come and want to know more about Jesus, we can just let Him shine. Amen? That's what God wants to do. That's what God is calling us to be. No longer are we going to come to a source. We're going to become the source. Amen? Because when people come to us, they're going to be changed. You see, all of us have got this personal space. And all of us just don't like it when people invade our personal space. Do you know, the presence dwells in this personal space. When people come into my presence, I want to see them changed. Yeah. You know, it's amazing. One day I was in worship and I said, God, I want to be in Your presence. And He said, Gary, not as much as I want to be in Yours. And I'm thinking, wow, me, Gary, big God. You know, I'll probably get hid in his presence, but God in my presence, so that when I walk into Woolworths or walk into Pack and Save, bang, people get saved. People get healed. You know, God was in Peter's presence to the point his shadow healed people. That's where we're at. We're not getting there. That's where we're at. We need to start having the faith, because the faith activates the supernatural. We need to have the faith and the love to believe that. Amen? Jesus wanted to make her the source. How many people are ready to be the source here today? How many people are ready that when people come, they come to a source that is overflowing into everlasting life? That when people come to us, we're not giving them the overflow of depression. We're not giving them the overflow of fear. We're not giving them the overflow of bondage. We're giving the overflow of life. We're giving the overflow of love. Amen. God doesn't want us just to be half-measured Christians. He wants us to be overflow Christians. Amen. How many people are ready to overflow? Because God is in the overflow. Amen. And the woman said to him, verse 15, "Sir, give me this water that I may go." "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." And Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." And the woman said to him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You have well said, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one whom you are with now is not even your husband. In that you spoke truly." And the woman said, "Sir, I perceive you to be a prophet." We need to understand something here. How many people, when you read this chapter or read these couple of verses, see this woman as a sinful woman? Five husbands. Put your hand up. How many people, whenever you read this, you always see this woman in a sinful state? Let's be honest. You do. By today's standards, you think, flipping heck, five husbands. She must be pulling in the benefits. But you see, we need to understand something. You see, we're reading this in today's context. Let me ask you a question. If a woman was caught in adultery, or if a woman tried to divorce her husband in them days, what happened to her? She was stoned. She missed five stonings? You see, we read this in the context of today. Five husbands. And we think this woman's sinful. You see, if a woman was caught in adultery in them days, she was stoned. The only way a woman could have another husband is if the husband died. You see, this woman lived under the law. Jesus came to bring grace and truth. The only way that this woman could have married again is if her husband died. And you know, it's an amazing thing that whenever we read these things, we always judge first and ask later. And that's exactly what we do in the prophetic. We judge first and we ask later. You know, if someone walked in that door, maybe a woman, and she had a bruised eye and a cut lip, what's the first thing we think? She's abused. When the truth of the matter could be, she could have slipped up a step. But instantly we judge. Instantly we bring a judgment. You know, it's amazing in John 5, it says the Father judges no one, but judgment is reserved for the Son. So what are we doing judging? You see, when we read this verse, over probably countless ages, people have judged the woman of Samaria as a sinful woman. But in fact, she was a woman who felt she lived under a curse. You imagine it. You've had five husbands who've died. And the one you're with now, do you think you would marry him? Do you think She would marry him. You see, for a woman to be with a man, there had to be an engagement. So she was on the road to engagement. She's on the road to engagement. But when we read this, you've had five husbands and the one you're with now is not even your husband. Does it say she's living with him? Does it say she's intimate with him? The one you're with now, that means there's engagement. It's not even your husband, in that you spoke truly. If you've had five husbands who've died on you, do you think you would want to marry again? You see, Jesus came, she saw her life under the law. She saw her life in the eyes of the law. Jesus came to bring her into grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And you know, it's amazing whenever we read this. You know, Jesus came to change her life. Jesus came to change her situation. Jesus came to break the curse and bring her a blessing. He read a mail. And you know, it's amazing. It says in verse 19, and the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive you to be a prophet." Jesus could have turned around, "Well, I fancy myself a pastor." You know, it's amazing sometimes, all of a sudden, when we've happened to us in Wales, we went on the streets to do some prophetic ministry, and this guy came up to me, and I just give him a word as the Lord gave to me. It wasn't any Christianese, I just gave him a word of encouragement. And you see, this guy just looked at me like deers look in a headlight. He was just like... Then all of a sudden he said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Oh, we're from the local church." "Oh, you bunch of hypocrites, you know, you do this and you do that." And all of a sudden he starts attacking the church. And I'm like, whoa, easy tiger. You know, God just loves you. We haven't come to you in the name of the church. We've come to you in the name of the Lord. But you know, it's the very thing that this woman does to Jesus. Jesus just reads a mail, and all of a sudden in verse 20, she says, "Our fathers worship on this mountain, but you Jews say in Jerusalem is the place to worship." You know, she just gets into this religious argument. Do you know it's amazing? God hasn't called us to be an argument. He's called us to be a witness. Jesus didn't say go into all the world and be an argument. Jesus said go into all the world and be a witness. Discipling people. Amen? So it's amazing when you see that this woman just wanted to argue. And Jesus turned around and said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is for the Jews." What is Jesus saying? All of a sudden, he's just giving himself away, hook, line, and sinker. What did he just say? Salvation is for the Jews. What is he doing with the woman of Samaria? You see, if you look, when the woman came to him and said, please, come. My daughter is demon-possessed. And what did Jesus turn around to her? "My mission isn't for you, it's for the house of Israel." Yeah, right. And the woman turned around and said, "Even the dogs have the crumbs off the master's table." And Jesus turned around and said, "Your faith has made you well." What was Jesus doing in Samaria? You see, his mission, his mandate, and his message was for the house of Israel. But let me tell you something, guys. When you begin to step into grace and truth, when you begin to live a life of grace and truth, God will take you out of the parameters of your calling. God will take you out of the comfort zone of your calling, and he'll put you in a place where you need to bring a message, where you need to bring grace and truth, where you need to bring something of the kingdom close to someone. You know, it's amazing. When Jesus just revealed this woman's heart, he didn't come in with, "You're a curse. You're this. You're that. You're full of this. You're full of that." Because what would have happened if he came in with truth? Where would she have gone? she would have cleared off. You see, that's what we do in this world today. We come with truth first. But that's what the Bible says. The Bible says grace and truth. You see, truth offered on a pallet of grace unlocks truth in someone's life. Truth offered on a pallet of grace unlocks someone's heart. That's what happened to this woman. Jesus came with grace that unlocked truth in her life. She says, "You well said, I have no husband." And you know, it's amazing. When Jesus got to a place where he was like, "I've come for you because you're coming into the kingdom." And you know, it's amazing when you look. It says in verse 23, and this is what I love, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship. But the hour is coming, but now is." What does that mean? What was the hour that was coming? What was the hour that was coming? It was the cross. But you know, Jesus said, "The hour is coming, but now is." The mission I'm going to do there, I'm going to bring in the now so that salvation can come to your city. The very thing that I was going to do there, I'm going to bring into the now so that release and deliverance can come to the Samaritans. The very thing I was going to do there, I'm going to shift into the now. "Behold, the hour is coming, but now is." Let me tell you, friend, there may be an appointment on your life by heaven, but God is shifting the hour that's coming into the now is so that deliverance can come to you, so that something of a release can come to you, so breakthrough can come. Amen? And that's what happened with this woman. The hour was coming, but Jesus shifted everything that he came to do, his mandate, his mission, and his message. He shifted into the now so that salvation could come to the Samaritans. You know, it's amazing at this point, it says in verse 27, his disciples came back and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no one says, "What do you seek and why are you here?" You know, an amazing thing about the disciples? They wanted to build a ministry. Jesus wanted to build a kingdom. You see, if you want to build a ministry, you'll have restrictions. You'll have ethics. You'll have rules and regulations. But if you want to build the kingdom, guys, it'll take you beyond any boundary that this world will try to put you in. It will take you beyond anything the religion will try to box you in. If you want to build the kingdom, if that's your heart, then you'll go beyond any ethic. You'll go beyond any law. You'll go beyond anything just to see the kingdom come close to someone. That's what Jesus did. The disciples just wanted to build a ministry. Can you imagine Peter walking on the water ministries, or John closer to the heart ministries? You can just imagine these ministries that they would probably have. But you see, Jesus didn't have a ministry. Jesus just wanted the kingdom. And this gospel will be preached in all the earth. Then the end shall come. The gospel of this kingdom. It's not the gospel, it's the gospel of the kingdom. For too long we've been speaking and preaching the gospel of salvation. Now we need to start preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Because the gospel of the kingdom takes people from being unsaved to being saved, to being into the kingdom and doing the kingdom exploits. You see, the gospel of salvation just puts a butt in the seat. You see, the gospel of salvation, when people preach that, their sight is numbers. The gospel of the kingdom isn't about numbers.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, amen.
It's about the nations. You see, the disciples just wanted to do that. And you see, they came with this carnal thinking. You haven't eaten. You need to eat. And Jesus said, "Hey, my food is to do the will of him who sent me." Let me tell you something. When you get into kingdom thinking, guys, there'll be times where you won't eat. We've been places and I've sat there and just doing kingdom stuff, and all of a sudden, Sarah comes to me and says, "Gary, it's 4 o'clock. You haven't even eaten today. Because you're caught in the realm. Because you're caught in a place where food doesn't matter. That all that matters is that the kingdom gets expanded. The kingdom reaches someone. The kingdom goes after one. You see, Jesus was never after the masses. He was after the one. But he knew that the one could reach the masses. And that's what our focus needs to be. We need to go after the one. I challenge you here this morning. Don't pick your 10. Don't pick your 100. Pick your one. Get their photo, get their name and put it on your fridge and say, that's my one for 2007. Because you know, it's an amazing one will beget one, that will beget one, that will beget one. But we get so caught up in numbers. Oh, it's how many people have I got to get saved? Guys, it's not about how many people. It's are you going after the one? Are you going after the one? And that's what Jesus went after. And you know, it says, it shows us in verse 39, the many of the Samaritans of that city believed because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. One woman's testimony changed the world. We saw that last night. We saw that yesterday. One woman's testimony. The woman who touched the hem of his garment. What did it do? It saved the city of Gennesaret. One woman's testimony in Samaria saved the city. That's what God wants to do. He wants to impact the one so that the one can impact the thousands. God wants to bring us into grace and truth. My friend, get out of law and get into love. Get out of law and get into love. Because if we can begin to get into a place of realizing, we can impact the one. We can speak grace and truth to the one. My friend, in everything you do from this point onwards, always exercise grace and truth. Always exercise grace and truth. Always know that God wants to make you the source. Always know that we can never judge a book by its cover. That we need to read what God is saying, not what we are seeing. Yes. Let me say that again. We need to read what God is saying, not what we are seeing. Amen? Amen. And that's when God will see Hamilton changed for the glory of the Lord. That's when we'll see New Zealand changed for the glory of the Lord. That's what happens when we step into that place. Wow. God wants us in that place. I believe there's an impartation here this morning. Jesus came to break the curse. Jesus came to break the mindset. Jesus came to break the ungodly beliefs that this woman possessed about herself. I believe in this place there are people that you've got some ungodly beliefs about yourself. Wow. That you've got some mindsets that you've created, some belief systems that are not bringing you into a place of freedom. They're bringing you into a place of bondage. And I believe there's an impartation here this morning. That God is going to bring us out of that place and going to begin to reveal to us as He sees us, not as we see ourselves. Let me tell you, for some of you this morning, God is going to break the power of the mirror. Wow. I'm seeing people looking in the mirror and you want to change yourself. I'm seeing people looking in the mirror crying because you're disgusted with yourself. That's not how God sees you. God is going to reveal His glory here this morning. He already has, but I'm telling you, the Bible tells me that we behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord. And when we step into the glory, we don't see ourselves as we are. We see ourselves as He sees us. And you see, that's what Jesus did when He came to this woman of Samaria. He came as a mirror because He wanted to show her who she really was. That she wasn't what she thought about herself. She wasn't the curse that she thought she was. she was the blessing that God was going to release her to be. How many people are ready to be released to be a blessing? How many people are ready to begin to see something shift in their lives so that they can see and begin to know that we can see communities impacted, that we can see workplaces impacted, that we can see churches impacted, that we can see regions changed. Amen? All because God is shifting us into this place of knowing grace and truth. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Let's stand in this place. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want you to raise your hands. There's an impartation in the atmosphere here. I just want to let you guys know, tonight we're going to enter into the spirit realm. Tonight we're going to be speaking on the spiritual realm. And I really believe that God is going to bring a visitation anointing here tonight. But I really believe that the residue that God has got here right now is going to enable us to step into that place. That the impartation that God has got here right now is going to give us the ability to fit through the door that He is opening. You see, we're so fat. We're so fat with problems. We're so fat with issues. We're so fat with the cares of this world. God is going to slim us up in the Spirit. Amen? That we're going to cast off our cares onto Jesus because He cares for us. And you see that there is a door that is open to us. And I believe tonight that door is going to open. But like the question Jesus said, can a camel fit through the eye of a needle? My friend, can someone who is bound by the problems of this world step through a door of the supernatural? I believe there's an impartation here right now that is going to enable us to fit into the place that God wants us. Amen? Wow! So Father, right now I release an impartation in this place. Lord, we take off. We cut the fat of problems. Lord God, we cut, Lord God, the yoke and the bondages that are on our lives in Jesus' name. Father, your word says your yoke is easy, your burden is light. So Father, we take that on right now in Jesus' name. Lord, your Bible, Lord, the word says the anointing breaks the yoke. So Father, right now I release the anointing in this place. Lord, I take off the problems. I take off the circumstances. I take off the issues. Lord, I thank you that, Lord God, you have placed a door before us. Father, I thank you there is a door before us. And right now I ask you, Father, Lord, that you would bring an impartation of change. That you would bring an impartation. Wow. Wow. Shift.
Wow. Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Thank you, Lord.
Can you feel it? There's a shift in the atmosphere. Wow. Thank you, Lord. We break off them things. We break off them things. Wow. Thank you, Lord. God, we break off them things. Wow. Wow. We break off them things. Wow. We break off them things in Jesus Christ's name. Wow. 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Shift. Whoa. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. Whoa. Shambi. Shamba. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's great vision on you guys. There's great vision. God says you're not the lesser, but Lord says He's going to take you into the greater. Wow. God says you haven't neglected or you haven't despised the small things. So Lord says greater is going to be released to you in Jesus' name. Whoa! God says you've traveled far, but what you travel in, Lord says they're going to be highways of glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Whoa! God says as you go back, there will be, Lord says, a highway of glory that you will drive on. Whoa! Highway of visitation. Whoa! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keys! Keys! Whoa! Keys! God, I speak an unlocking over these lives. God, I speak an unlocking over their lives. God, what they thought the door had closed, I thank you, you're opening others. Whoa! So Lord, I say right now, keys! Keys of David. You will open what no man will shut. And you will shut what no man will open. Whoa, Shambi. Thank you, Lord. 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 And the Lord says, you've seen the days of serving. And the Lord says, as you know, in them days of serving, the Lord's going to raise you up into them places of leading again, says the Lord. Shomre basata rababa. You've been in a place. Just as the disciples were in that place, the Lord says He's going to take you out on boats and show you the supernatural. He's going to take you on mountaintops and reveal the supernatural. And the Lord says you will be a carrier of the supernatural. But you won't only be a carrier, you'll be a depositor.
Wow!
Wow.
And the Lord says, New Zealand will appear small to you in days to come.
Whoa!
Wow.
And the Lord says, you'll know what it is to hop across the pond. Whoa! Shambi. Shaba. Kwarababareti. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. 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 Shomre Baba. Thank you, Lord. Impartation. 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 Wow. Wow. Fires. Not just a fire, but fires of the Lord. Wow. Whoa, Shambre Baba. Wow, Shambaba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Whoa, Shamba. Shabby, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the deep work. Thank you for the healing. Thank you for your sweet presence, God. Thank you for your sweet presence. Wow. Wow. Double portion. Whoa, Shaba. Whoa. Shambi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the high places and the low places He's trod. But Lord, I thank you, you're giving Him new boots. Wow. 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 Thank you, Lord. Wow. Shamba. Whoa. shamri. Fire. Whoa. Shandi. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Welcome.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
The dove.
The dove. Lord, I thank you for the dove from above. Wow.
Whoa. Whoa, yeah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Deep work, deep, Father. Lord, I take off confusion on her life right now in Jesus' name. And I release a readiness. Whoa. And an understanding of where she is and where she's going. In Jesus Christ's name. Thank you, Lord. Shamba. Whoa.
Saka.
Whoa. Whoa, deep. Deep. New levels, Lord. New levels. New levels.
Whoa.
Whoa. And Lord God, I thank you for the baby.
Whoa.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, for, Lord, whoa, Shambi, for the promise, Lord, that is going to be birthed. Whoa. And God, I speak protection. Yeah. And Lord God, delivery in your kingdom right now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Whoa, Shambi. Hey. Wow. 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 Whoa!
Whoa.
Thank you, Lord. Whoa, Sean Baba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hey! Hey! Just reach your hands up. Just reach your hands up. Father, right now, in Jesus' name, I release this radical. Wow. God, I release, Lord, I take off the words that have been spoken to him that are not of you. I release, Lord God, the words of heaven. Lord, he is a radical in Jesus' name. Lord, he is called to those that, Lord God, the church hasn't even looked at. Lord, he's called to those, Lord God, that the people are looked down on. Lord, I thank you for the anointing, the breaker anointing. The breaker anointing. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Wow. Release the glory. New realms, new realms, new realms. Jesus Christ's name, new realms. Wow. New realms. Wow. Thank you, Lord. 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 Wow. Wow. Jesus' name. Fill him up. God, I speak a double portion.
Yes.
Impartation. Impartation come. Impartation come. Impartation. Wow. Impartation. Wow. Shamba. Wow. God, I thank you for an implosion, an explosion of your spirit. Jesus' name. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. Thank you for your kingdom. Wow. Thank you for your love. Lord, we just release kingdom exploits, kingdom work, kingdom authority. Wow. Fill to overflowing. Overflow. I speak the overflow on you. I speak the overflow. 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 Wow. 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 Overflow. Over. Wow. 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 Thank you, Lord. Lord, I release. Whoa, Jesus' name. Clarity and direction. Lord's giving you clarity and direction. Thank you, Lord. Really feel the Lord saying that everything that you thought you were going to do, Lord says, you will still do. Whoa. And I really believe for you, sir, there's promises that even things that you said that you thought you had to let go of, even because some of the things of people in your life had said, Lord says you're going to begin to pick them things up. Dreams and visions that you thought you had to change because of circumstance, the Lord says you will pick them up again and you will walk in them. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow. Whoa. Dimensions. Lord, I release the dimensions of glory. Wow. Shambi. Shamba. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. New. God speaks new on you. Wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Wow. 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 Whoa. Whoa. Shamba. Phil. Phil. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for freedom. Lord, thank you for, whoa, Shamba, plans. Plans, Lord. I thank you for the plans he has in his heart. Father, Lord, I thank you. Your plans for him are not to fail, but to prosper. And Father, right now, God, the options that he has, Lord, I ask you, you give him clarity and wisdom to choose the right options. Lord, the right path he needs to take right now. Just release the Holy Spirit. Wow. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God, I just release the blessing. The bless of God. The bless of God. Wow. Wow. Whoa. Whoa, Shamba. Wow. Do you want to put your hand on his head and say more, Jesus? Say more, Holy Spirit. More, Holy Spirit. Wow. Whoa, I missed one. Wow. 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 Whoa, Shamba. Whoa. Whoa. Whoa, God's unlocking some chains. He's also unlocking some doors. Whoa. So many obstacles you've had to walk through, but the Lord says he's going to make your path straight. And he's going to make your path light. Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Jesus' name. God says he's going to bring you into the rhythm of destiny because you felt you've been out of time. You felt that you've been out of rhythm. It's almost like you're opposite to everything that's happening. The Lord says he's going to bring you rhythm in destiny right now in Jesus' name. Release it, Father. Release it, Lord. Shamba. Shambi. Shamba. Shamba. Rindi. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Wow. Double, double, double. Double. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Jackhammer. Wow. Shambi. Shamba. Wow. Whoa, realms of glory. Realms of glory. Realms of glory. Wow. God, I release your authority and your anointing right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Wow. Whoa. Shambi. Thank you for new realms, Lord. New opportunities. New paths. Lord, I thank you. You've given a new paths. And you've made them paths. You made them Rhonda paths. Hey, Rhonda paths. And she heard the Lord saying that even as in the Bible, Rhonda thought she saw an angel, but it was actually Peter. The Lord says, so you thought you've just seen that which is of the Spirit, but the Lord says He's going to bring that which is of the Spirit and He's going to materialize it into the natural. The Lord says them opportunities, even to do with the job, the Lord says He's going to release into the natural. And the Lord says you're not just pipe dreaming, you're not just seeing, but the Lord says you're going to begin to touch. You're going to begin to experience. You're going to begin to know. Whoa, what you thought was just superficial, you're going to see it supernatural. Regions. Whoa. Double. Wow. Wow. Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you. Where's Lindley and Stuart? Whoa, Shamba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes.
Come here, let's pray for Mommy and Daddy. Come on.
Father, right now, in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. God, we thank you. Whoa, Shambi. Shakuruba Sanda Reiki. Whoa, Shandaranda. Whoa, Shamba. And the Lord says, He's releasing the scepter to you, and the Lord says, name your price. Whoa, Shamba. The scepter of favor has been released here, and the Lord says He's also giving you the ring. He's not giving you the keys of New Zealand, He's giving you the ring. And the Lord says, that's sonship. That's ownership. And the Lord says, you don't only are owned by this land, you own this land, says the Lord. And God says He's given you that Joshua 1 promise that whatever your feet tread, the Lord says He's given you. Lord says, Moses is dead. Whoa, Shamba. Lord says, Moses is dead. Whoa, and now the Lord says, cross. And the Lord's given you the Jordan. Whoa, Shamba. Lord's given you the Jordan, so you've crossed it. Now you're in the promised land. Shamba Barendi. Wow. And the Lord says, as you crossed, the Lord says you're entering into them things, but the Lord says, two will only see what eight missed. You need to know that two will only see what eight missed. And the Lord says He's called you two because there's eight out there. Whoa, that have missed it. And the Lord says He's called you two to see them things the eight have missed. And the Lord's going to raise you up and give you that foresight and that fourth sight. To begin to see beyond the natural and begin to see the supernatural. The Lord says you're in His time and you're in His timing. And the Lord says His beat is offbeat to that which is of this nation, says the Lord. Because the Lord says you're going to be used to bring it back into time. The Lord says you will see a natural phenomena happen. And the Lord says that will be a sign to you that He's shifting you, says the Lord, into this place of seeing more than the eight saw. And the Lord says the number eight is new beginnings. So the Lord says you're going to bring people into new beginnings. Don't think you have to revisit. Don't think you have to take people back. The Lord says you're going to begin to see new beginnings over their life. You're going to begin to see new beginnings in this nation. You're going to have a ministry of new beginnings because you're going to bring people into the new. And the Lord says, no, the many have said that there's nothing new under the sun. But the Lord says, behold, I do a new thing. Wow. And the Lord says that new is going to come through. The newness says, that's why He's brought you back to New Zealand. Because there's that new anointing, there's that new mantle. And the Lord says you had a foretaste of it in this past week, says the Lord. But you know that you're about to step into a new mantle. The Lord says there's about an upgrade that's coming to you. And the Lord says you've been living in an economy, now it's time to live in business. Wow! Whoa, Shamba! The Lord says you've been living in an economy, now it's time to live in business. Shamba, so Lord, we just release the anointing for that right now in Jesus' name. And we say, resources shift. Yeah. Wow, Lord, we say resources shift in Jesus. Father, we say circumstances shift. Yeah. Doors shift. Yes. And the Lord says He's not going to open doors. He's going to open windows also. Wow. Whoa, Shamba, he's not going to only open doors in your life, he's going to open windows in your life. Because the Lord says, you'll walk through doors, but he'll come through windows. Wow. In Jesus' name. So Lord, we release that. We bless this couple. Just release. Stretch your hands. In Jesus' name, we release the bless of heaven upon them. Lord, and upon this little one, Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the ministry of love, this honor. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the ministry of love, this honor. And Father, we just speak right now in Jesus' name. God, she will be one, Lord, who will confound the wise. Lord, she will just, Lord, melt people with her love. Lord, I thank you for that, Lord, that pastoral, but also that prophetic anointing, this honor. That creative anointing, this honor, Lord. God, I thank you, Lord, she's going to reach places that people would fear to reach. Lord, because there's that tenacity upon her. Yeah. Lord, because there's that boldness, because there's that dare to win. Lord God, authority on her. Lord, I thank you. She carries the authority of heaven. Lord, I thank you for the seer anointing this honor also. But Lord, I thank you, Lord, you're going to take her, Lord God, into realms and dimensions where she's going to do things in the spirit, Lord God, and she's not even going to understand it in Jesus' name. We love you. Amen. Let's give God some glory, guys. Bless the Lord. 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 I just want to... Tonight we're going to walk through doors. Tonight we're going to walk through doors. And I really believe. And this is what the Lord showed me for this place. Shamba. Shomre bebe. Thank you, Holy Spirit. This is what the Lord showed me. Thank you, Father. It says in 1 Corinthians 16 verse 9, for a great and effective door is open to me. And there are many adversaries. There will be great opposition. Let me tell you something, guys. A great and effective door is opening to Hamilton. A great and effective door is opening to New Zealand. There's doors of the realms of the Spirit. There's doors of the realms of the dimensions of God that are opening to Hamilton and opening to New Zealand. But there will be adversary. There will be opposition. But let me tell you something. This is the promise of the Lord. And this is what we're going to step into tonight. Wow. The promise of the Lord is the great and effective is going to outweigh the opposition. The great and effective is going to outweigh the opposition. Let me tell you, it's a promise. If you come here tonight, there is a visitation that's going to take place here tonight. That's going to take you into the great and effective. Amen? Amen. Amen. Give God some glory. Amen.
Oh, everybody be here tonight, won't they? Whoa, it's awesome.